You see the title? I don't know how that sits with some of you. I don't know why it would sit any differently than what it should, but let's talk about it. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Boy, I love the fact that every kind, nothing was too big, nothing was too hard, nothing was too complicated. He healed every kind of disease and illness. Boy, that's just fantastic. You know, if you know much about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is the Gospels, and the Gospels is a foretelling of the kingdom here on this earth. There was an agenda that Jesus had, and he was teaching a new way of thinking, a kingdom that far exceeded the earthly kingdoms, a kingdom that was far greater, far better, that had a purpose that would be for eternity. And he's teaching this in those Gospels. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Now, I've chosen to go off track just for a second. I want to read verses 2. I think a lot of times we don't actually name out the disciples, and a lot of us don't even know all the disciples' names, okay? So I want to read that for just a second. So let me read it again, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. And here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon Peter, as we know. Everyone's pretty familiar with Peter. Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus. I've only met one Thaddeus in my entire life. Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas. Then we read in Luke chapter 10, okay? So we know the 12. A lot of people want to stop right here on the 12. They go, the 12. As if that was it. It was like Jesus, then the 12, because Jesus touched the 12. It was the 12. You know, it's the 12. That attitude. Like, oh, well, you know, it was Peter. It's John, right? But no one ever says that about Bartholomew. Right? Always like Peter, John, and James, those guys. Who am I? Look at them. I'm like, what about Thaddeus and Bartholomew? They matter too. The 12. There is no hierarchy. Remember the mom who was like, yo, Jesus, when we get to heaven, can you make my sons like up there? And he was like, you have no idea what you're asking. It's not our way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking. So in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, it says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples. Some translations say 70. I'm not for sure why. But the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Get ready. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. That's interesting. You know, it's also interesting that he sent them into these towns before he would go into these towns. That's interesting too, isn't it? Some people want to give these excuses. Well, Jesus went there first. And then it just made it easy for everybody else who walked in afterwards because the faith was up high. Actually, the opposite. He sent these people in to these towns before he went into these towns. And then if you skip down to verse 9, he says, he gave him instruction, heal the sick. And they came back with a report to Jesus. And they're like, you won't believe what happened. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And Jesus was so overwhelmed with joy. Because why? Because they got it. They understood faith. It's beautiful. But for some reason, we also want to create this distance between, well, not me. to the disciples. That's those 72. But yet at the end of this, what I just read in verse 2, it says, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers. Not to send the same workers. More workers into his fields. It's interesting. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is the, I'm talking about Acts. Some people, they're like, oh man, not that. By the way, let's just call the elephant out in the room. Trailhead Church believes in the gifts of the Spirit. Some people are like, oh my gosh, no, I heard that rumor. I don't understand why people have a hard time with this concept. It's like, I can't believe that. I'm like, and Acts, that's what it was all about. And people are like, well, you can't create theology on the book of Acts. That was just a first, that was a storytelling book. I'm pretty sure all of the book is a storytelling book. Like the whole Bible, all 66 books represented. And inside the book of Acts, yes, it's the Acts of the Apostles and all of the individuals, all the disciples, the 3,000 plus that came to know who Jesus Christ was, the Lord and Savior that day, on the day of Pentecost. But you got to remember, after the book of Acts comes all sorts of other letters from Paul actually explaining the gifts of the Spirit and how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And how there needs to be order to the gifts of the Spirit. And they need to be in practice. They need to be in operation within the church. It doesn't need to be squashed or hidden in a back room. It needs to be out there in the open. It needs to be done right, though. So it's important that you handle these things in the way that God has instructed us to do so. So just know that, okay? But keep in mind, salvation and accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, also comes with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the power that is necessary to do the work of the Lord. And you'll say, where do you get that? Acts. The book of Acts. Why would we not want to teach this? Do you know why most churches will choose not to teach on the book of Acts? Is because they want to create a formula of 2 plus 2 equals 4, therefore I can control what takes place. Oh, I know how to answer this, or I understand it. You don't need to understand it, for your understanding is far less than the exceeding abundance of understanding that the Lord has. I mean, his understanding exceeds us tremendously. I can't tell you and understand it to the full capacity, but I know it's God. Man, when I'm in a room and the Holy Spirit and the atmosphere is in the room and the Holy Spirit is moving, he's driving that bus. And I'm on it. Let it happen. I'm not going to stop that bus. So it's important that we don't sit here and dismiss what the Bible says. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, before this he said, it's far greater that I leave. Remember, Peter's like, don't leave, Jesus, you're amazing. And he's like, rebuke you, Satan, get thee behind me. And he's like, what? And Jesus is like, no, I've got to go. You don't understand. You think you understand because you're like, it's better that I'm here. But it's not. It's actually far better. If I leave, and if I leave and I go to our Father in heaven, he's going to send an advocate, a gift. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Has Jesus came back yet? Nope. Don't worry, I'll teach on Revelation soon enough. But if Jesus came back yet, then knowing that we are going to die someday, then him saying, the words to the ends of the earth means it's going to take more people than just the 12, the 72, right? It's going to take more than these individuals. Interesting. So every time that Jesus sent his disciples, he gave them the expectation, he gave them provision of power so they would heal the sick and cast out demons. Now that same provision and expectation has been entrusted with us. You can't argue it. It's been entrusted to us. Some of you go, oh no, oh, I don't want that. Who am I? Find out who you are. Like, figure this out. There's no time to waste. You're dying. Do you see this? Like, time's ticking. We need to start going. The kingdom of God is here. Like, let's do something about it. Jesus was never interested in sending disempowered witnesses. He was never interested in going, yeah, just go out there and fake it till you make it. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want people to act holy. We know this, right? There's this sorcerer guy who's like, can I buy that? Can I buy this power and this knowledge? They were like, no, it's not what this looks like. Like, snap out of it. You need to be ready for this. Like, be excited that when you open the Word of God, there is an invitation for you personally, for you, particularly you, to make a difference everywhere you go. There's an invitation that says, hey, I'm giving you authority to lay hands on the sick. I'm giving you power to change someone's life. The gospel is that invitation to the kingdom. It's the invitation. When you read it, you have to get just like all the warm fuzzies moments where you're like, this is for me. This is it. This is what Jesus. You got to read. Like, you need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like often, where it's like, man, this stuff right here, this gets you excited. And then when you read Acts, that's when you should go, whoa! It's like, yes! It's like the epiphany. I get it. I know now why Jesus had to leave. I understand what's taking place now. And the invitation is for me to be a part of it. If you're still in that argument of, I don't know if it's really for me, let's read Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. This is that Great Commission moment. Everyone loves these scriptures, but they kind of stop after 19. They don't read 20. But let's read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All right, some of you didn't catch it. Let me read it again, verse 20. Teaching them, who? Nations. Why? Because we're supposed to make them into disciples. Disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that what? That I commanded you. Meaning, those things that the 12, that the 72 plus have learned, they're to go out and make disciples, more disciples. The same things that they've learned, they're to instruct us with as well, which was what? to lay hands on the sick. When I read Mark chapter 16, I'm like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. As a Christian, that's what I'm supposed to do. Not only as a Christian am I supposed to walk in forgiveness, if you're saved, you forgive. If you're saved, you're forgiven. If you're saved, you love. If you're saved, you're not full of bitterness and strife and anger and resentment. You're not playing the blame game. If you're saved, you're full of love and compassion and mercy and grace. And then sometimes we as Christians, we just stop there. We're like, that's enough. That's enough. Oh, gosh, that's enough. That's hard enough. But then there's more. Now, this isn't an exchange. That's where we get it all wrong. That exchange and thought of like, well, we've got to, what we give, we got to give these things over here to God, and then we can get these things. This is not an exchange. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We are not saved by works. So let all of that go. Okay? Salvation is the identity that you know that you are saved. That identity to go, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that I could be saved. Why? Because, man, I'm a sinner. And what's he going to do? He's going to pluck out that old stony heart of mine. He's going to give me a new heart, a new transformation. I'm going to have a new birth. And I'm going to go to him and I'm going to remind myself, my flesh, daily. Ho, whoa, flesh, you back down. Because I am not that person anymore. Yes. Right? This isn't a behavior modification moment. This is a spiritual reformation moment. Okay? This is a moment to go, okay, I'm believing that my Jesus Christ is going to come in and he's going to transform me into think new. And how's he going to do this? By the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will say, don't do that. Why are you hating that person so much? Stop it. Why are you playing the blame game? Stop it. Why are you playing the victim? Stop it. Why are you so full of malice? Stop it. Hey, you weren't nice right there. Go back and apologize. Holy Spirit will remind you, convict you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's sitting there saying, hey, that's no good for you. That's causing harm. It's causing pain. It's causing suffering, not only for someone else, but for yourself. Holy Spirit will sit here and tell you, okay, this and that and this and that and this and that. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit then goes, hey, see that person over there? Go pray for them. Remember in James chapter 1, a lot of people think that God tempts us. God doesn't tempt us. Well, God tests us. He doesn't test us through tempting and sin. Well, that's weird. James 1 confirms that, by the way. Read it. What it says is, it says, hey, God's going to test you and approve you. So it's in those moments the Holy Spirit says, hey, go over and pray for that person. And you're like, nah, I don't want to. You failed. I mean, quite simply, you failed. You can be like, well, that's harsh. It's the truth. Holy Spirit says, hey, go over and do this. Hey, I'm asking you to go do this. And you're like, nah, I don't want to. It's not convenient. I don't like that person. Saved people love people. Saved people forgive people. Right? So, in that moment, the Holy Spirit says, hey, go over here and pray for them. You'll be like, I don't know how. I might be a little OCD at moments. But I can't handle when machines want to flash and tell me what time they think it is. Like, I can't do that. Like, I can't handle having a DVD player or a microwave that's just flashing at me or telling me the wrong time. So what do? I fix it. I go in there and I find the manual and I start pushing buttons. If I can't fix it, I find someone who can. I have teenagers now that are smarter than me. I take all excuses out of it. Fix this. All right. Boom, there it is. Boom, fixed. I fix it. If the Word of God tells me to lay hands on the sick, I fix it. I fix it. How do I do that? I fix it. I read the Word of God and I go, oh, this is what the Word of God says about it. Therefore, I'm not walking blindly or in ignorance. I refuse to have that mentality with God's Word. Oh, I didn't know that. I hope that does not happen. When we get to the pearly gates, I don't believe one bit that God's going to say, what did Luke chapter 3 verse 2 say? Kayla Oles. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do believe we're accountable to know what the Word of God says. We're accountable to this. And the whole big picture of things, to not be like, well, I didn't know we were supposed to lay hands on the sick. Well, sadly, none of you have that excuse now today. I ruined it for you. You're to lay hands on the sick. You know, it's interesting. This is the question that gets asked a lot with healing. But what if I don't see healing? Does that mean that there's sin in my life? Or there's sin in someone else's life? And here's my answer to that. Actually, in the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. About how you need to be healed from your sins. And that's what Jesus does. So Jesus gives you an open door to go, hey, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. I repent of these things. And then God just comes in and he just washes you afresh. Like, you're like, man, I feel so good. Proverbs 3, 7 through 8 says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. TMI. Can I give you some TMI? My TMI always involves me. I just want you guys to know that. A couple months ago, I was scratching the middle of my back. I was like, what is happening? Katie knows. As a staff, anyone on staff in the back knows. I was like, man, I got this weird scratch going on. I was like, well, I got this scratch on. Well, I was drinking Coke Zero a lot. I thought it was better for me. Can you believe it? That Coca-Cola lied to me? It's weird. I was like, why is the lower of my back just itching? So then I thought, Lord, give me divine direction. Sure enough, I was like, diet. It's like the word that came to me, diet. Change your diet. So I was like, changed it. And all I did was drink water, and all of a sudden, no more itchy back. And I was like, So then, pizza. It was pizza night. Got to drink a Coke with pizza, right? I mean, that's my philosophy. Sure enough, Coke Zero. A couple hours later, not the pizza. Can't be the pizza. Lord, don't let it be the pizza. Can't be the pizza. Sure enough, stop, drink some more water, right? Couple days go by, I'm like, all right, time to test it out. Itchy back. Coke Zero equals itchy back. Weird. All I'm saying is, sometimes there's a cause and effect to stuff. And it's for you to go to your heavenly Father and seek. I just lost my microphone. Man down. Stop filming, Rashad. I lost it again. Okay. I'm glad I'm not a famous pastor. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I will never be one of them. Okay. Okay. That was weird. Okay. There's a cause and effect. And the Holy Spirit will guide you through that process for you to realize, oh, I need to change this about my life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit goes, I need to convict you in this moment. You've got so much depression, anxiety, because you've created a story in your head that everyone's out to get you. And then you get sick, and you don't realize, I need to let those things go so that I can walk in healing. If you don't get healed, does that mean that God doesn't love you? No. Well, that's ridiculous thinking. Stop that right now. Okay, stop. You know, I actually want us to stop in general with the thought of, what if God doesn't heal me? How about just stop? That's like a crazy way to approach a process that requires faith for us to stop, to start with, but what if? That makes no sense, like zero. So that's where you gotta go, no, 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 but what if he does heal? But what if something does happen? But what if, how about you just do what God asks you to do and let God do the rest? That you go, I'm going to be an obedient disciple of the word of God, and I'm going to lay hands on the sick. We're told to lay hands on the sick, to physically lay hands on the sick. Okay? So we are told to do this. How about we just do that? And then let God take over. What if? What if? It is God's will for everyone to be saved and healed. I can't find anything outside of that phrase in the word of God. I cannot find it. I cannot. Some of you are like, well, what about Paul's thorn? Go listen to my sermon over the summer of last year in 2024. Okay, we talk about the thorn. In James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I love Psalm 30, verse 2. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. I'm going to ask the band to come out. Let me tell you guys something. There is not a formula for prayer of healing. It's not this two-step moment of like, all right. I mean, throughout time, there's been all sorts of ways. Spitting in mud, right? Telling them just to stand up, take your mat and walk. There's been prayers with the soldier's servant. Jesus was just commanded it from where he stood. Miles away it took place. So there's been all sorts of different ways. So there's no formula for this. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. I mean, Elijah laying on a dead body, nose to nose, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth. Praise the Lord, that's not the formula. It'd be a hard thing going to a hospital room. Excuse me, everybody. I'm the pastor. Not so much. So I'm so thankful there's not a formula. However, we are instructed on a few things. Few things. You have to understand that that authority is just like jurisdiction. Any police officer knows this. They have jurisdiction. You have authority. It's the same jurisdiction To where? To the ends of the earth. We just read that. You have been given spiritual authority to the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, you've been given jurisdiction to speak the name above all names. You've been given authority. We see this in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. We've been given permission by Jesus to use his name. We're told to do something. What are we told to do? We're told to speak to that mountain. We're told to get up and walk. We're told to be clean. We're told that that woman, you are loose from that infirmity. We've been told to receive our sight. We've been told to take up our bed and walk. All of these are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are statements that Jesus made, speaking to those mountains. Some of you have kidney issues right now. Some of you have lung issues. Some of you may be dealing with a disease that is from the pits of hell and not from our Heavenly Father. Some of you have ailments that you wish were gone. Well, hey, stop wishing. It's only bed knobs and broomsticks. I have a real power, a real authority. I have hope in the Lord, a faith that heals. Stop dealing with arthritis. Right? Stop dealing with chronic pain in your back and in your head. Stop dealing with these things. Begin to speak to your mountain. Do not doubt. Believe. That's what my Heavenly Father tells me to do.